Welcome to the Joyce Buckner Show, the show dedicated to helping you create relationships you love. With your host, clinical psychologist, and author of the book, Making Real Love Happen, Dr. Joyce Buckner.
Love does not begin and end the way we seem to think. Love is a growing up. And here's another thought for the day. Love is a practice, not just a feeling. Well, this is Dr. Joyce Buckner. Welcome to the show with you in mind. The show committed to help you create relationships you love. If you listen to our show regularly, you likely noticed that I've altered our second thought for the day. Initially, you'll recall it was stated like this. Love is not a feeling. Love is a practice. That was the well-known Eric Fromm's way of saying it. And now that we've stated it in this more attention-getting format, I'm selecting to alter it just a bit to love is a practice, not just a feeling. This alteration is for the purpose of changing the focus to what it is, rather than on what it isn't. That's in keeping, of course, with what we're learning these last few days, in the sense that it's more effective to say what you want rather than to say what you don't want. That makes sense? As we go along, we will be emphasizing more and more the importance of word selection and the sequence of the delivery of the words in ways that will increase our communication skills. In other words, learning what words are listener-friendly and learning how to string them together so that they produce crisp, enticing pictures that convey clear meaning. During our last show, I introduced the concept of replacing complaints or criticisms with behavior change requests. I trust that you've listened to that show. If not, I would encourage you to do that. I assure you that if you continue to complain and criticize, my grandmother used to call it belly aching. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase or not, anyway. But if you continue this complaining and criticizing, which is what most of us do, you will preclude the possibility of intimacy. Being intimate means letting one another in. You remember, intimate means knowing and being known. And of course, you can let them in to whatever degree you choose to be intimate. You can let them in, though, only to the degree that you are open. And you can get in the other person's space only to the degree that he or she is open to you. Our body's self-protection system will not allow us to open in the atmosphere of danger. You do know that, don't you? And complaints and criticism is dangerous onslaught. And the other person will go defend, defend, circle the wagons, close the hatches. No wonder we call our reactivity. Remember, we've talked about that, what we do when we're threatened, defensive behavior. Remember, we're noticing that we defend in one of two primary ways. Recall that? We call it minimizing and maximizing. And of course, we will defend in the way that's needed, depending on the way our body understands the onslaught or the danger. Earlier psychological gurus gave the adaptive behavior specific names. You know, they called it projection. We still, of course, use these terms, regression, rationalization, and so forth. But our point here is simply that we must not be an unsafe person with someone whom we wish to have a loving relationship with. We must learn how to say what we need in an appropriate and respectful way, in a safe way. Of course, we do need to let one another know when we're uncomfortable. You know, when some behavior is threatening us in some way or another. We just must learn how to do it other than being critical. So, a behavior change request format is that fills the bill. It provides us the way to do just that. And you remember that we talked about that in our last show, about how you develop the behavior change request and so forth. So you'll recall that, you know, we came up with a very short little template that you could use, and it would go like this. You might say, rather than, and then you would put in whatever it is that is a complaint. And you will recall that I suggested that you make a list of the complaints that you have had of past lovers or partners or so forth, and that you use those complaints to develop this this experience of putting those behaviors into this format. But just in your today, just today, you might notice something that someone does or doesn't do that bothers you, you know, that really bothers you. And you could practice this. So the way you would do it is, and here's the template again, rather than, and you list that complaint. The example that I was giving last time was, rather than you're being late, you know, for an appointment. And then the rest of the sentence would go something like this. What I would like is if you would do this, and state the specific behavior that would meet your need. And you'll recall that, you know, I threw out something like to arrive on time as you said you would, or call me and let me know that you're running late as soon as you realize that you're not going to be on time. So that was the example that I gave. So again, here is a very simple template that you can work with and use it frequently. Practice it, not just with partners, but in your day-to-day interactions, and notice how it works. Basically, remember the template is this. Rather than what I don't want, you know, that's what you put in the blank. What I would really like is, and then you fill in the blank of the specific behavior that you would like. So, I want to say just a little more about that behavior change request, because it is important that you learn how to craft this request. There need to be three characteristics, really, of your behavior change request. The first one is it needs to be a positive statement. And by a positive statement, what I mean here is it needs to be a do rather than a don't or a stop doing. You know, very often, again, as I've worked with people through the years and in my own experience, so often what will come to mind is, well, what I want is I want you to stop that. You know, what I really want is I want you to not do that. Well, all that is a criticism. So you're going to need to shift that, and that may take a little thinking. It's so much easier, isn't it, to just level the criticism? Because you know what that is. It's like, I want you to not do that. So do a little work here and come up with a behavior that if they would do that, at least it would be maybe much better for you. And so it needs to be a do rather than a don't. So, like, again, that one example I used of being late, just what I would really like is I would like you to be on time. I'd like you to show up when you said you were coming, or call me as soon as you discover that you're not going to be able to make it on time. Notice those are both things to do. I didn't say just stop being late. I did say I would like you to arrive on time. But notice, although that may sound like the same thing, it doesn't compute in our brains, in our neurological experience, the same way. So the first one is the statement is a positive. You know, I would like you to, what would be something that might happen today? You know, I would like you to hold my hand when we walk down the street. You know, rather than I would like you to stop walking way behind me and not even paying attention. You see, the holding your hand would mean that they would need to be close to you, close enough to touch you. So it needs to be a positive. The second characteristic is the statement needs to request a concrete behavior rather than an abstract generalization. Now, depending on your temperament style, that word ring a little bell? Yes. In several shows back, we talked about basic temperaments. And once again, if you haven't heard those shows, I would encourage you to go back and check them out. So some people are very inclined to want to generalize or abstract, use abstractions. And that doesn't work. Another person will fill in behavior that very often is not anything close to what you would really like them to be doing. But you're going to have to let them know what behavior you would like. So that might be something like, rather than have more respect for my time, for instance. You see, that would be an abstract in response to that little suggestion that I've been playing with, the being on time. So that wouldn't work to request that you have more respect for my time. That doesn't tell the other person what behavior would communicate to you that they are having more respect for your time. So you'll need to come up with concrete behavior. And the third aspect or characteristic that the behavior change request needs to have is it needs to be clear and specific. That is, they need to know exactly what you mean. So once again, the example that I gave you met that criterion, didn't it? Arrive at the time you say, at, you know, the time that you say you will, or call and let me know as soon as you realize you're not going to be on time. That's very specific. It's quantified. What would not meet that criteria would be something like, well, get there as soon as you can. Are you getting it? So if you really would like a person to behave in ways that feel respectful to you, that feel caring to you, then you're going to need to let them know what kind of behaviors would communicate that to you. They will never be able to figure it out on their own. And that is not an absolute proof that you're not meant to be with that person or whatever. It just means that other people have their own thoughts and their own ways of viewing things. If you want it to be the way you want it, you're going to have to say what that is. Okay, well, so much for behavior change requests. And again, I really, really want to encourage you to begin to practice this one additional skill along with the others that we've shared with you. Now, in order to do that, you're going to need to really make a decision within yourself that you're going to do it. Have you noticed that about you? Have you ever kind of said to somebody who asked you to do something, oh, yeah, I will, or okay, yeah, I'll try. And that response in itself is pretty much an indication that it's not going to get done. That it is not going to become a part of your behaviors. So I would suggest that you say something to yourself like this, if you are presently in a significant love relationship. Something like this. I pledge to myself that when I experience reactivity with John or Sam or Susie, whoever it is, the content of my communication will focus more and more on what I need and want in the moment and less on what I do not like or want. I am committed to eliminating criticism and complaining from my life and replacing them with behavior change requests. I would even encourage you to write something like that down and look at it and remind yourself of this way that you can alter your behavior with a partner in a way that can absolutely change the nature of the way you two are together. And if you're not presently in a significant love relationship, you might say something like this to yourself. I'm committed to eliminating criticism and complaining from my life and replacing them with behavior change requests. Even though I do not have a partner committed to do this process with me at this time, I will nonetheless intentionally practice the skill of crafting behavior change requests in selected interactions with others in my life. How about that? And again, I would encourage you to write that down. Write that commitment to yourself so you can read over it and remind yourself of this very important, valuable, life-changing way that you can develop as part of who you are. Entering the awareness stage is not an automatic, pre-programmed happening, as is entry into the first two stages of love. Remember those first two? First one is romantic love. Second stage is the power struggle. And you'll remember that those first two stages are natural. Those just happen on their own. But specific, intentional choices and behaviors are required. Notice that they are required for you to move beyond the power struggle. There is no free ticket to awareness. A common entry for many couples into awareness is psychotherapy or marriage counseling. And I certainly, you know, would recommend that for you if you are in a relationship that is really troubled and you've not been able to create the awareness so that you can turn your critical behaviors around and begin to respect and honor one another as you become more empathic and more respectful and more genuine or authentic with one another. But even in what you're learning here, potentially on this show, believe it or not, if you really applied the things that I'm sharing with you, if you really integrated into yourself through practice the things that I'm sharing with you, you could move yourself into, and that means beyond, the power struggle into a mature, loving relationship. And one of the pieces to doing that is this behavior change request piece. And as soon as possible, because you noticed in this template that I gave you that I stuck the what I don't want right up front. Oh my, there that is, saying what we don't want. But it's kind of like when we have been so accustomed to focusing on what's hurting us. And by the way, that's the way we're built. You know, you and I notice what hurts. Pain is our indicator that something needs to be changed. Something needs to be different. But remember that as soon as we notice something needs to be different, we need to then move into discovering what do I need to do. It's like we don't just stay dwelling on the pain. We don't just stay saying what's awful, saying what's bad, saying what hurts me, you know, delving into all of that bad stuff. But it's like when you get triggered, when you get reactive, then you notice something's happened that's threatened you. And so it now becomes your responsibility because you're growing up. You're becoming a mature person. It's your responsibility to figure out what it is that would make the pain go away. And here we are. Here's another way to do that in your interactions with other people. It's really a blessing. It's a wonderful opportunity. Remember, our definition of conflict is growth trying to happen. So when threat comes up, it's just like, oh, all that means is I need something here different from what is going on. And so it's up to me to figure that out as best I can and share it. There's the intimacy piece. Opening to someone else and saying, and yes, that means being vulnerable, and saying what you would really like. So, as soon as possible, how nice it will be when you no longer need to mention the what you don't want parts. Similarly to the way I altered our thought for the day. Remember? The focus is on what is rather than what isn't. Focusing on what I want rather than on what I don't want. Well, learning how to craft the behavior change request is important, and it's relatively simple. You can do it. Just follow these brief little instructions. Well, you know what? I want you to thank yourself for joining us today. It's an opportunity to heighten your awareness and develop your skills so you can create relationships you love. This is Dr. Joyce Buckner. I'll see you next time.